Ready?
Go. Hey everyone, it's Heather Whaley. God, with the chewing.
Frank Whaley.
Yeah, today's Friday. It is.
Can you guess what I'm chewing on?
Kale. Raw kale.
No. Nah.
Is it?
Nope.
Celery?
No. Nah.
I don't know.
Mustard greens.
Oh.
Peppery, real peppery mustard
greens.
Yeah,
super peppery. Today is
Have
Friday.
Have you ever had them?
Yeah, it's the 5th of February. I like mustard greens.
But these are, sometimes you get a batch that's just super, super peppery. And let me tell you, this
Make your eyes water.
What?
It makes your eyes water.
Oh, yeah. These were super, super peppery. I got a whole bunch of them up there.
I love mustard greens. I like peppery things. You know that.
I'm trying to think of an innuendo,
no.
But I can't because I'm tired.
Innuendo. Today was an annoying day. We have some...
That's actually pretty good.
Trivial facts straight out of Whaley House.
What?
Well, today, I undertook the task of swapping the fish out of the disgusting fish house of horrors that's in our son's room and put it in a new tank. And, these fish, it was gross. That tank was disgusting. And for some reason, he's got really fast, tiny little fish that are not colorful, so they're very hard to see. I don't know why he picked those fish to put in that tank.
I don't know why you're telling this story.
Well, it's trivial facts straight out of Whaley House.
So
here's the really tricky part. When you get the fish out, then they've got all this like gross stuff in the water, and then you have to get those fish out of that water into the new tank without picking up any of that gross stuff. So I don't know if anyone has any suggestions. It's too late. I've already done the deed.
I guarantee anyone who was listening has like gone on to other things.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 30 seconds I was talking about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, anyway, I did it.
You know about Adam Driver, right?
I know who Adam Driver is.
He was accused of assaulting an elderly co-star on the set of The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. I love to hear. I mean, I would love it. I would love it if every day there was another actor that got into trouble.
What did he do?
When people get knocked down a peg, it makes me feel better. When people succeed, it makes me feel like I failed somehow. But does that say about me?
It says that you have a fragile ego. What did he do to this person?
Well, here's what happened. The woman's name is Lydia Franco.
It was a woman?
Let me tell you the whole story. Lydia Franco. Yep, it's a woman. An elderly co-star on the set of The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. You know, you're familiar with this picture?
I'm not. No.
It's hard to believe how many movies Adam Driver has done.
But is this something filming now or this was a while ago?
Heather, this came out in 2018.
Okay.
It was directed by Terry Gilliam,
mm-hmm.
who I spent a couple of weeks with up there at Park City.
Mm-hmm.
Crazier than a shithouse rat, that dude. Anyway.
In that's a good way?
Not really.
Okay.
That was a long time ago and he was like, you know, he was obnoxious and inappropriate. Was during the, I was up there for the director's lab. I was acting in something for like a new director. They have these labs where directors come up there with their movies and they shoot a scene. And everybody shares houses. And I was sharing a house with a couple of folks. And we had a party. And Terry Gilliam, who was like an advisor up there for this conference, just was being obnoxious.
Okay, so what happened on this movie, the Don Quixote?
Well, Lydia Franco, who was 73 when the movie was filmed in 2017, talked about her experience on the set in a recent interview. The interview was conducted in Portuguese, and the English translation...
Portuguese!
And the English translations of her quotes have caused lots of confusion. Now, it sounds to me like she was quoted correctly, but Adam Driver's trying to do some control here. Anyway, in the initial interview, Lydia seemingly accuses Adam of attacking her with a chair.
Huh.
She also claimed that he wouldn't allow extras to look at him or be around him. That's my policy as well when I'm working on this.
Yeah, you don't like anyone making contact.
I don't like anybody looking at me or coming near me. I like my airspace clean. That's my policy. I want my airspace clean. And if people don't know what that means, and they get in my airspace, they get fired. Anyway, where was I, Heather?
You said that she was quoted in an interview. He doesn't like people to look him in the eye.
Well, here's what Lydia said originally. Our characters in the movie, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, had to be physically close. I considered the actor's behavior to be rude because in the preparation of a scene, he didn't take the care I believed he should have taken. Our characters had to be physically close. And every time he stood up with the force of the character to do the rest of the scene, the chair in which he was sitting would bump into me with some force, which bothered me.
Oh, come on, Lydia.
She said that he repeated the same behavior, despite her being uncomfortable. And then I guess she corrected herself and said, I guess it wasn't really assault, but maybe it was something lost in translation, but I still think that he should be canceled.
This is a nothing story. I mean, the fish story is more interesting than this.
I think Adam Driver should be canceled.
No, this is like, he bumped into me with his chair. I guess it's not that big a deal. That's the story you just told me.
I think, I'm just telling you what I read on Just Jared, okay? And I think I'm going to start a petition to have Adam Driver canceled for this. Because...
I don't think you should do that.
Why?
I don't think you should be coming out and attacking anybody.
You can't get up and with some force and have your chair bump into somebody. You can't.
I mean...
And I'm all for having the extras, the commoners, not look me in the eye or get involved in my airspace. But you can't be getting up out of a chair and allowing the chair to move and bump into somebody. Can't.
Well, but what if it's an accident? Or what if he's like, that's exactly how my character would do it.
I'm just looking for any opportunity to have Adam Driver canceled. Because he's too successful and talented.
He's super successful. Everybody loves him.
I know. Except for Lydia.
Marriage story? That wasn't a marriage story.
It was a divorce story.
Yes, it was a divorce story.
Anyway. Look for my petition. Have you ever been to a town called Collegien?
Colleg?
Ien. It's about 20 miles outside of Paris.
I don't think so. Collegien?
Yeah, it was the site of an 81-person orgy.
What?
At a warehouse, which was broken up by police for violating a coronavirus curfew.
Oh, my God, during coronavirus? Ew.
Featured booze, sound systems, and light installations.
Oh, my God.
Police responded to the party at 9 p.m., 3 hours after France's curfew.
Ugh.
And first found 11 people in the parking lot. Once authorities were able to legally enter the warehouse, they discovered the orgy.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe
it? Imagine discovering an orgy. Like, you walk into a warehouse, and there's 80 people in there.
81.
81 people. And so that means one person got left out?
Well.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that stupid. So.
Have you been to orgies?
Never. So I'm just thinking,
what's the largest orgy you've ever been in?
I've never been in an orgy. I'm just imagining what that would be
like. Okay, what's the largest orgy you've ever been in France?
None, zero.
Thought I'd catch you.
I mean, that would be such a weird thing to walk into. Was it heated in there? Is it cold in France now? Yeah, it's cold.
Well, it was inside of a warehouse.
I would have no interest in attending that sort of an event.
I'm sure the organizers had, made sure the place was heated.
Was there food? What was on the menu?
It says there was booze.
No food?
It doesn't say in this particular article.
Even at Plato's Retreat, they had, snacks and stuff.
Well, they had a whole buffet.
Yeah. They had, what did they have there?
Everything.
Like sausage and peppers. They had, nasty stuff.
Apparently, the buffet was, tremendous. It was everything you could want on that, white fish salad.
Ew, at an orgy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
If you don't know what Plato's Retreat was, you can look it up. It was like a sex club in New York City.
The orgies that I've been in have...
I never went there. There's a documentary about it called American Swing. You can watch it.
But the orgies that I've been involved in have all had great food. And the buffet... I always request white fish salad.
You like to have some lentils.
I like food thick food, like thick, heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like to have, you know, I like to have pork loin. I like to have stuff that's going to really sit with me.
Okay.
You know, that way, you know, when I'm doing my thing, I'm nourished. And, you know, I want it.
You're not going to be getting hungry right in the middle. Not with that kind of sustenance.
I want something that's going to stick to my ribs, to speak. You know, I like a lot of soups. I like a variety of soups.
Okay, I can see that. Do you like the soups that come in one of those bread bowls?
So that'd
like
be great.
You'd like a creamy soup, like a New England clam chowder.
Oh, absolutely. Everything, any kind of clam dish you can find. I like
right. I like, how about some like.
I was at an orgy once in Edison, New Jersey, and they had Clam's Casino.
Oh, wow.
And I was delighted. I mean, it was wonderful. And clams on the half, oysters on the half shell,
now,
Clam's Casino.
Do they have
casino.
Like wine pairings with the different dishes at this orgy in Edison, New Jersey?
Not at this particular one.
What sort of drinks did they have?
A lot of water.
Okay, just water.
Yeah, you got to have ice water.
Okay.
Because you don't want to get dehydrated when you're...
You don't want to have too much alcohol.
Well, no. I mean, you want to kind of keep it straight. Mm-hmm. You want to keep your head on you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your head about you.
How about like glass of milk? Something like that?
What on earth are you talking about? I'm just going to pretend you didn't say that. I'm glad this guy, Morgan Wallen, what's his name? Morgan Wallen?
I don't know. Oh, the country singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he said the N-word and caught it on tape?
Yeah.
He's also the guy that was supposed to go on SNL, and so, like, 2 nights before, he's out, like, no mask, making out, macking with all these young ladies at a bar, and then he made this lame apology. He said, I'm going to do better. I drank too much. I'm going to do better.
Nope, didn't do better. Did worse, as a matter of fact.
Screaming the N-word like a stupid, stinking racist that he is. And by the way, his music really sucks. However, guess what?
What?
Sales and streams have shot up.
Oh, my God.
Since his controversy over saying the N-word.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, my God.
Despite the media scrubbing of all evidence of Wallen from its outlets, appears the general outrage over his actions has increased interest in the artist, and his music selling power tells the story.
Oh, my God. All the racists.
Yep.
That's like that Marjorie Taylor Greene got like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta be crazy being such a nice guy. I mean, I'm not gonna say the N-word. I'm not gonna, you know.
That's not being a nice guy. That's being like a decent human being.
I know. But no, what I'm saying is, what can I do to have
your sales,
my music
shoot up?
Go
You're
up.
Not gonna do that.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
And you know, you just ruined my day with that news.
Yeah, I was happy to hear that he got found out for that racist garbage.
Yeah, and they loved it. That's my guy. Let me buy more.
I stand by him. I hate him. We have got quite a few emails and so forth that we have not been
we've not been dipping into the old mailbag.
Yeah. And got one here. I like to choose the ones that kind of, you know, like some of them are just very nice. And there are a lot of nice people saying thanks for the podcast. But some of these letters are a little bit, or these emails are a little bit complicated.
Uh-huh.
Not complicated, but they kind of twisty-turny. Hi, Frank and Heather.
Wait, is this a letter?
Yes. Hi, Frank and Heather.
Hi.
Congratulations. It's misspelled.
Congratulations
it's spelled.
On what?
I'm not going to point out.
Did we get did we do something good?
This
did
is
we win?
From this is from a fellow, and he spelled he spelled it C-O-N-C. And I believe that's
all right. That's all right. Let's go on.
Yeah, Heather. I'm not gonna disparage somebody for misspelling congratulations.
Right.
I'm just gonna say it the way it's spelled. Congratulations on your work and keep it up. Explanation
what
point.
Work. Oh, the podcast?
Well no, you work with March of Dimes. What do you think?
Go on.
What do you think
go
he's
on.
Talking about?
Just go on.
Heather.
Yes.
You are a saint.
I know it.
And you should write another book. This time
I'm working on it.
If you're going to talk, people can't hear the letter from from this fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start again. Okay. Hi, Frank and Heather. Congratulations on your work and keep it up. Heather, you are a saint. Saint Bernard.
Oh my God.
And you should write another book. This time on, quote, how to live with a neurotic, unquote.
Hmm.
Spelled neurotic correctly, mm-hmm. but spelled congratulations wrong.
Okay.
Sorry, Frank, but it's true. On another note, Frank, you played a soldier in World War II in When Trumpets Fade. You played a soldier in World War II. That's misleading. But then he says, and When Trumpets Fade, then it's clear.
Right.
I read about how hard it was. World War II? Or the movie? Care to elaborate? I know World War II was very difficult.
Yeah, that was horrible.
On and on
it was
involved,
horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yours truly,
atrocities.
Armand. His name is Armand. Yeah, World War II was really tough on a lot of people.
I mean, there was like, you know, the Nazis, the concentration camps, the
oh yeah, that was really hard on a lot of people.
Yeah, and then the even for like the Japanese Americans in the internment camps here, and it was just a big nightmare.
I mean, you only scratched the surface on how hard it was.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, books and movies have been written and made about
that whole
how hard
storming
World
the beach at Normandy. Those guys were just—they knew they were just going to get mowed down, and they had to just get out of the boat and run and hope for the best. And
you know
the
think about
second
Ted Williams?
Wave had to run past their friends who had been killed. Ted Williams, the baseball player,
yeah,
the one who tried to cryogenically freeze his head.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
That's what I know about him.
Oh, well, you know, as you probably know, I've been watching the Ken Burns.
Oh my God!
Documentary. I'm on the seventh inning now.
Okay.
Each volume is an inning.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking about Ted Williams. Do you know that Ted Williams served missed four seasons? He was in World War II, and then he went back.
Yeah.
He went back to Korea.
Everyone fought in World War II. Jimmy Stewart. He was like a fighter pilot. He had terrible PTSD.
I mean, Ted Williams, like, has had so many hits and so many home runs and so many great things, but he missed four seasons. Why? Not because he was holding out for more money, not because he was injured, because he was fighting the enemy in World War II. He was fighting for our freedom.
Wait, so...
And then
he
re-enlisted.
Was there for 4 years? Or
he missed four seasons.
It could have been like he missed the season, then he went... His tour of duty lasted, I'm just thinking, like, four. How long was World War II? He probably did, like, two 18-month tours or something like
what
that.
What does it matter?
I mean...
The point is, he had such an amazing career as a ball player.
Yeah, but when there are Nazis, when there's Nazis, you got to go fight them, unless they're country music singers, in which case, buy their albums.
Fun fact about Ted Williams. When he was a rookie, he had a hard time when he was a rookie, and he got booed a lot because he didn't do well his first year, and he vowed that when he became the greatest hitter of all time, debatably, he would never tip his hat to the crowd in Boston. He played for the Boston Red Sox
because he didn't like him because they booed him.
He said he would never do it, and after all those years, his last game, he announced his retirement. They gave him a big trophy, and they had a whole ceremony. In his last game, in his very last at-bat, what did he do?
Tipped his hat. Gave him the finger.
He hit a home run.
Uh-huh. Attaboy.
And did he tip his hat?
Nah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Ted Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so let's get back to this letter.
Oh.
I guess he thinks...
Okay, first of all...
I played a soldier.
He said something about me first.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Let's
he said I'm a saint. That is the truth.
Yes.
And he also said I'm married to a neurotic. That is the truth. He would like me to write another book. I am in the process of writing another book. It is not at all about how to live with a neurotic. It is a work of fiction. And
about a girl, about a sexy girl who goes to France and is involved in an 81-person orgy.
Yeah, and it's like
she's the 81st.
It's but because it's France, it's like all the food's super garlicky, and it's like this real stinky orgy because everybody's eating so much garlic.
That's gross. That's really gross.
So that handles my portion of that letter. Frank was in a movie called When Trumpets Fade. It was about World War II. It's a good movie. That's a good one. And he said he heard it was hard. It was difficult.
That's what she said. Yes, it was. It was. I don't know what you've heard, Armand.
So Armand Desante. Is he right? Is he listening?
I have a feeling Armand Desante has better things to do with this time.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was very difficult. The director was a crazy person. I could write a book just on that one stinking movie. Going over there to middle of nowhere, hungry. They dropped napalm on this beautiful. You've heard all these stories, Heather.
Yeah, I have.
We were filming about 45 minutes outside of Budapest. Budapest? I don't know how you say that. Never have. But we were in this tiny little beautiful farming town. They had the nerve to drop napalm on this area they were filming. Like this place like survived the actual World War II. But they dropped napalm and killed all these trees. And I was just, I mean, I was like from the beginning outraged. And the director was pissed at me. And because he was burning, they were burning tires to keep the air black. He was just one of these guys, British guy, John Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like this, like British, old British guy. He was like, you know, only thing that mattered was his movie. And he's burning tires. Burning rubber tires, and you know they would never get away with that here. And I actually made an anonymous complaint to the Screen Actors Guild.
Not anonymous anymore.
Well, no, it wasn't anonymous then because they told the producer.
Oh, oops.
That I complained, made all these complaints. The producer screamed at me after work on the set and said, "You're never going to work for HBO again." To which I replied, "Can we make that retroactive?"
That said, you would be more than happy to work with HBO.
I'll work with HBO.
HBO is wonderful.
I'll work
a
with
wonderful organization.
WBGO. I'll work with any network. I'll do anything right now. Anything at all. I'll host a damn telethon. I'll host a bingo game at this point, Heather. I'll do anything.
Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to wrap this up.
Make love like we're in Paris, 20 minutes outside of Paris.
Oh, my God.
And there's 80 other people there. I mean, 79.
Well, I'm going to go pick up a pizza. So that, you know.
That's code for something.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everyone. And
thanks for the letter, Armand.
Yeah, thank you,
Armand. I hope I
answered
all your questions. Yeah, World War II was tough. Yeah. On a lot of people.
Yeah, just, you know, this weekend, if things are rough for you, just be glad you're not, oh my God, I was going to say something, but it's a World War I reference when people were in those trenches. That if you want something to do this weekend, look up that Peter Jackson documentary about World War I. What was that one called, Frank?
I don't know, but how about telling them to rent one of my freaking movies, Heather?
You can watch When Trumpets Fade. Go watch When Trumpets Fade, and then watch this Peter Jackson one about World War I. It's incredible.
The director was a jerk. That movie had who was in that movie? Timothy Oliphant had a small part in that
friend
movie.
Our friend Zach Orth was in that movie.
Bobby Cannavale was in that one. Zach Orth. Who else? Somebody else of note was in that movie.
What's his name? Ron
Eldard.
Ron Eldard.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye, Ron Eldard.